One, two, three, four. Play that guitar, Ben. Ooh, play it so good. Don't give me that look. I'm just rooting for you. As a good friend should.
Spoils of Akron, the spoils of Akron
Soba. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Ryan Dyke, and you are listening to the Spoils of Akron podcast. I am always joined by my co-host, Mr.
Ben Arrington.
Aha!
And this is a podcast about the art, culture, and the eccentric residents of Rubber City, America.
That's right. The Rubber City, America, Ben.
And I brought the guitar back.
You did! Yeah. It's been the ukulele for a while. Last time.
Last couple times. Ever since
with Liz's. Wiz. Yeah. You got like really like, you must, her saying that, ooh, I love your ukulele, your wood, must have really have gotten you like, ooh, I'm going to start using this more often.
I carry it around wherever I go.
And then people would be like, I love that. You'd be like, it's my dad's.
It's all for the ladies.
Yes. And last week I joined you. I brought my wood too. I brought my ukulele. It was awesome.
Yes, you
now, I'm still learning how to play mine. Now, the reason why I had that out, I dusted it off. I got it out of my case. My best friend got married, so I'm going to give a big shout out to Jay Powell and Stephanie Davis, or Stephanie Powell, as I should say. They got married on the 20th. I was the best man. I had an amazing speech. Cody helped me write it. And I, like, totally flubbed. I totally flubbed it.
Oh,
okay.
No.
I can go up on stage. I can make fun of myself. I can do comedy, music, acting, whatever on stage. And I'm fine. I'm fine. I don't flub. I don't get stage fright. I'm not that kind of guy that gets the quivering. You ever seen somebody when they get up on stage and they can't look up straight? They're quivering as they talk. And I don't do that.
Right.
I just don't. I did when I did my best man speech.
Was it really emotional?
It was. I mean, I tried to make it funny, but it also was very truthful. Jay, he's like the most courageous. I could recite it right now from memory now. In the moment, I totally forgot it. You know, it talks about how he's like the most courageous man I know, and he takes risks, and he's an unreplaceable example to me, and how I've seen him not once but on two separate occasions dressed like a woman. I mean, there's a lot of things I put in there.
That last part particularly made me sob a little bit just now.
But the reason why I had my ukulele out was because he sang to his wife. Jay.
Oh, that's right. What song did they do?
Lucky.
I'm
lucky. I'm in love with my best friend, and I learned how to play that in 4 days on the ukulele. Now, luckily, it was.
Did
very,
you flub that?
No, I got that. I was perfect at that because that's music. I can do that.
Yeah.
But like, I have a scar on my middle finger on my. I don't know. Wait. I never. Do your hands have
fretting,
like on my,
hand,
my
strumming hand?
Yeah,
and fretting hand.
So
I don't know.
I have a scar on my finger on the hand that I fret with. I don't know if that even makes sense. But whenever I build up the calluses on that finger, it hurts for the first 5 days, and then it stops. So I'm fine now. But for those first 5 days, my finger was hurting, and it was a beautiful ceremony, and I'll put a picture up or something. But I mean, it was awesome, and I'm so happy for them. They're crazy kids.
I was a best man one time. I was a co-best man, actually. I was one of two best men, and it's always funny because when you're in a wedding, and or when you go to a wedding, I guess at the reception, you always have the maid of honor speak and the best man speaks. But the maid of honor and any of the other ladies who speak, they always come very prepared.
Really?
Yeah.
You think so?
Oh yeah, they always pull out like a paper.
I love Jen.
That they wrote out it on.
But Jen was like, her sister, her maid of honor.
Oh, okay.
Was like, I can't do this, and like I had to send Cody outside to help her write a speech real quick because she like was just so like.
Oh, so she didn't come prepared.
She did come prepared, but she was so emotional. I had to send Cody out there, and he coached her.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's what he does.
But yeah, so.
But anyways, it's so weird. No, I'm saying, but you went there. There was two best men. The women always come prepared.
Yeah, so the ladies did...
I listen.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. So yeah, the ladies did their maid of honor speeches, and then it was time for our turn, me and my co-best man,
what's
Josh,
his name?
Josh. Okay, Josh. And we kind of just looked at each other, and I was like, man, did you prepare anything? He's like, no, I was just going to kind of wing it. How about you? And I
said, oh, no.
Yeah, I'm just going to wing it, too. Hey, they both went really well. I can't remember who went first. I think I went first because I was like the second co-best man.
Okay.
And I let
Shouldn't you have just been a groomsman then? Why two best men?
It's because the girl...
The girls have two maid of honors?
College weddings, if you have like two people that went to the same college, and I mean they want their entire like floor.
I guess
they're, like they live with these people. They live with it was a Christian college, so you know you had girl dorms and boy dorms, and they want like their whole floor to be on in their wedding. I've been in weddings with it might have been that one 11 of each. 11 girls, 11
what?
Guys in the wedding party.
24 people in the bridal party?
Yeah.
That is ridiculous.
It's a lot of people.
That's a little bit ridiculous.
Yeah, for the bachelor party.
Well, would, you don't even need to invite anybody. Well, you already got 11 buddies showing up.
I always slept on the floor because there were... I've been in a few weddings that had gigantic wedding parties. But yeah, so there were two... maids of honor because she couldn't decide, I guess. And so to even it out, he had two best men. So I was originally going to be just a groomsman, but I got promoted.
I've been a best man, a groomsman, and then my mother was the wedding planner for my sister's best friend's wedding, and I basically was like a gopher for that. I was like, go for this, go for that. I was that guy.
Oh.
I was like behind the scenes, dude. It was fun. Yeah, I'd rather be working at, I think in life, when it comes to like anything, mm-hmm. shows I'm in, bands, Copper Pennies, weddings I go to. I don't know. I'd rather be doing something than just sitting there.
Yeah, I agree with you. If I'm at like a wedding or something,
yeah,
if I'm in
like
a wedding,
I don't want to
sit around and wait.
The one wedding I did go to that I sat around, I'm not going to say whose it was boring as all heck. You just sat there. It was, I don't know.
Oh, Phil and Lisa's, right?
Shut up. I promised them I would never say that.
That sucked.
But, no, my cousins, which I was a groomsman at, it was awesome. You like when you're part of the bridal party, you're like a superstar. Like
yeah,
you of well, the you, wedding, you are a superstar.
You get a photo shoot.
Yeah,
and
you get to sit at a table first? In front of everybody and make them. They have to look at you.
Yeah, you like you don't do anything.
I
for
love
it. I mean, except pay like $200 for a tux that you're gonna get for 2 days
now. But. Jay's was different. We didn't rent. We bought. Now, yeah. They did theirs really cool. They color coordinated it. So they were in black and white. Then the maid of honor and myself, I was in a purple vest with a black shirt. And she was in a purple, in a black dress with like a purple sash kind of like highlights. And mm-hmm. then the ladies, what are they called? Oh, no, what are they called?
Oh, no.
I know it's groomsmen.
Groomsmen and...
Bridesmaids.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
What's that movie?
They were in purple dresses.
Thanks, Chris.
With, like, black highlights, and the guys were in black shirts. Anyways, it was, like, it was really cool. It was color coordinated, but, like, I bought a purple vest that I'm never going to wear again because it's, like, a purple I wouldn't normally wear. I might turn it into a Joker costume, I was thinking.
You know what's nice? For my sister's wedding, my mom made all of the groomsmen.
That's cool.
It was only like four groomsmen that she had to do it for.
I think that's what I'll do.
And they had like a country wedding.
Oh, so I saw those pictures.
So yeah. And so the vest is like this very country sort of paisley brown thing. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I wear that vest at Hale Farm. I use that vest every day for Hale Farm. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good vest.
When I have my Batman theme wedding, I'm going to make sure we get the best costumes so we can wear them to Comic-Con.
Oh, speaking of Hale Farm, this is an event.
I thought you were going to say Comic-Con. I was like, I'm excited too, Ben.
Yeah, Comic-Con.
It's Colossicon's this weekend. I don't get to go, but I'm excited.
We can talk about Colossicon because I don't know anything about it.
Nah, it's fine. That's just it. It's at Kalahari. It's really cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then...
You go to Cedar Point?
No. Kalahari's... It's not... No, it's just at Kalahari. But what's really cool is, like, at Comic-Cons, people go in costumes and they do photo shoots and stuff. So a lot of the times, people have mermaid costumes. They go to the water park at Kalahari and they get photo shoots swimming around in their mermaid costumes.
That's cool.
It's really cool.
Okay, anyway, Hail Farm.
Yeah, go ahead.
An event coming up at Hail Farm. Not this coming weekend, but the one after. The
13th. You just keep talking. I'll look at
it. Yeah, the 13th and 14th, I believe, of June. It's
Saturday is the 13th. Sunday is the 14th.
Yeah, it's our Sow and Grow Festival at Hail Farm.
Aw.
And,
like Mother Hen.
Yeah. Okay. But it's going to be... we're going to be focusing around... Our farming and our gardens. We have Pioneer Garden. I don't know if they're planting the corn yet. Yeah, we have a few gardens up there. I think there's something online about a horse being there, and I didn't know about that.
There's no horses at Hail Farm?
We don't have horses at Hail Farm. We bring them in.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Sometimes like groups bring them.
I didn't know that. I thought...
Yeah. Civil War reenactors will bring them, but we don't have our own horses.
B-Y-O-H.
We have oxen and sheep and hens and hogs.
I thought that joke was funny.
I didn't hear it.
B-Y-O-H. Bring your own horse.
That's coming up next weekend, and I'll be there in costume.
Nice.
Can come check me out. I don't know where I'll be at. Goldsmith House.
You'll probably be the slave master again.
No, I don't think there will be a slave master there. those events are usually pretty big.
Speaking of events, Ben, segue.
Nice.
Into the events section of the Soap Podcast. Okay, so there's some upcoming events coming up.
That was our segue song.
Yeah, that was. We're gonna
record that. We're gonna use
drop
that, again.
That in from now on. This weekend is the Akron Art Walk.
Yes.
Which means that at the Coffee Pot Cafe, David Di Domenico, I got that right, is going to be hosting his
game night.
His monthly game night at the Coffee Pot Cafe. So go on down there. It's going to be awesome.
David Di Domenico, if you don't remember, was our second interview.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went to the Coffee Pot Cafe. It was echoey, bent through my pen. It was great times.
I do remember that. Hey, we could talk about what's playing at the Nightlight.
Yep.
Because
I pulled that up too.
I know right now they are showing Ex Machina.
I want to see that.
I want to see it too. I heard a lot of good stuff
about
it.
Yeah, it looks good.
And the other movie, which is not going to be in soon. I don't have it pulled up. Go ahead and
Slow West?
When's that closing? I know it's closing soon.
June 4th.
Okay. But coming up, I think next week, they're doing the Blair Witch Project.
Like the original?
I think so. Yeah.
Wow, that's cool. I didn't know.
It's got to be. I haven't heard anything about a new Blair Witch Project.
Yeah, I know. They probably make one every year. That's
yeah,
cool,
just a
though.
New one.
No, that's cool. They're going to do Top Gun. I want to see Top Gun.
Yeah, it looks like they're playing some of the old Hey, you know what movie I watched yesterday for the first time? I finally got around to watching it.
Wait. So I said Top Gun. So does this mean it has something to do with
no
Tom Cruise, volleyball, or Goose?
Neither, none.
Done. Darn. What?
What? Was that the name? Was that your guess? Darn.
No.
Done. Darn.
I meant to say dang, and then darn. I did that thing where you mix up two words.
Okay. The reason I brought it up.
What'd you see?
It's an independent film. And I believe you've seen it.
What?
I think you guys have talked about it before, and I haven't. Clerks. I never saw Clerks before.
Clerks is okay. Clerks is good. I like Clerks. Chris, you like Clerks. What I like about Clerks is that it was the first.
What I like about
Clerks is it was the first of its kind. It was the first movie where it's a movie about nothing.
I mean, it's just a bunch of friends making a movie.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. Is it an entertaining movie? To some people, not. Whatever.
I started it a few times and couldn't get into it.
Yeah.
But then I finally sat down and watched the whole thing.
I had the same thing when I watched it. I had to get into it. It's still a good movie. I love Kevin Smith. I love him as a writer.
Oh, I watched another one of his movies this week.
Red movie. What is that one? With the... Which one?
Tusk.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Terrible. Don't.
Yeah.
It was,
yeah, I didn't. Now, terrible because it was gross and weird, or terrible because it was like a bad movie?
It was very disturbing.
Yeah.
I think the
idea for that show came from?
I actually listened to the episode of their podcast where they're talking about it. Yeah. Okay. I didn't like the movie. I know they wanted to do like a tamer human centipede.
Yeah, I guess that's a tamer human centipede that doesn't involve the horrible aspects of Human Centipede. I don't even want to say it. It's really disgusting in Human Centipede. Yeah. Don't watch that movie. But I did want to see Tusk because I wanted to see Justin Long turn into a walrus. Spoiler!
Yeah, way to go.
Oh, no!
I don't know.
Is it just gory for gore's sake? Is it supposed to, now here's
no,
the other
it's,
thing.
It's
now,
not
since
even
it's,
all that. It's not really
wait,
gory.
Wait. Now, since it's Kevin Smith, is it? I saw the trailer. There's some parts where it's like straight out of a comedy, like ha 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 ha, like slapstick. There should be a sound, like an audience cue light, and an audience should laugh. Laughs. Was it? Did it not balance well between the horror aspect and the comedy?
Not really. I mean,
some movies can pull that off. Some can't.
I think the problem is we have to, when we're watching a movie, we have to know what genre it is. And so if something like bridges the gaps, if something is not in one of those genres, I mean, like when you think comedy, you're going to think, you know, like,
Bridesmaids,
Hangover,
Horrible Bosses.
Maybe not even Judd
Longest
Apatow,
Yard,
because he has some serious movies.
Any Adam Sandler movie?
Yeah, it's just like
the kidding. They're not comedies.
A lot of oh, except have you seen Punch Drunk Love?
No, I have seen Longest Yard. That movie's hilarious. I love that movie.
Punch Drunk Love with Adam Sandler.
50 First Dates is pretty good too.
But this is Paul Thomas Anderson, who does There Will Be Blood and The Master.
Nope.
And recently Inherent Vice, which is another movie I just watched this week. Super confusing movie.
You've been like catching up on your movies.
I know. Yeah. I know. Well, I've been at home alone all week.
Aw.
Yeah, and so...
Did you set up traps? Home alone?
No. No, but have you ever found when you're like house sitting by yourself, you start looking around the house for hidden cameras? Have you ever done that?
Yes.
Okay, good. Then I'm not the only one.
And I am even worse. I am that guy that goes through everything. And not like tearing everything apart, but I want to know where everything is. Like, just in case. I want to know where all your medicine is. I want to know where...
Okay, remind me to never let you house.
I want to know where the electrical box is. I want to know where everything is. I want to be prepared. I want to know where all of it is. Not like I'm stealing stuff, but like I want to know where everything is. If you have a gun, I'm going to find it.
You know, just in case you need some medication.
Yeah.
You know, someone else's prescription.
The power box goes out and you don't know where it is.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah,
you
that's
never
true.
Know.
Yeah. So, yeah, Tusk. Oh, what was the question?
If it was good or bad comedy, if it was able to reach over both.
What I wanted to talk about, Johnny Depp is in it.
What?
Yeah, there's some big guys in it. Haley Joel Osment is one.
He plays one of the main kind of guys of it, yeah.
And
I didn't know Johnny Depp was in it.
He is in it, and he is very good in it.
For how long?
He's got a bigger minor role.
Like 10 speaking
lines? He doesn't show up until like halfway through the movie, but then he's sort of in the rest of it.
All right, so one of the guys in
he's actually really good in it, and he's really funny too.
I didn't think. What does he play?
I don't really care for Johnny Depp. It's just like he just does characters and
what did you say?
And if you like ever seen him not act, he's just the most boring guy.
What I love about Johnny Depp is he is so great at staying in those characters.
Okay.
He travels around with the Jack Sparrow costume on him at all times in a suitcase. Someone's carrying it for him probably. Chris Pratt does the same thing, actually. I'm sure dozens of other actors do this as well. They will, whatever city they're in, if they got free time, they will put on the costume, go down to the local hospital and play with kids, all in character, because it's not only beneficial for them, for the kids, it's also like an improv class. It's also it's an acting class. So Johnny Depp does that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, he's just a really nice dude. Like, from what I've heard, he's a really I know him. He's fun. I call him John.
I just remember him.
Yo, John.
Doing
Depp. John Depp. He loves that.
Yeah, he loves that. I just remember him announcing the winners at Golden Globes one year, and he was just very
monotone.
If I can remember correctly, he came up on stage, looked out at the audience, and said, "Whoa, a lot of people." And the winner for this category, that's kind of funny.
That's
what happened.
That's kind of funny.
And I imagine like that was written on his teleprompter.
Yes.
Was
someone told him to say that?
Whoa, a lot of people, and it was
in Tusk. In Tusk, there's also another character actor slash actor I know that's actually in a bunch of that's in the Kevin Smith podcast Hollywood Babylon, and he's on the radio show Kevin and Bean in L.A. that I like to listen to. Ralph mm-hmm. Garman, he's a master at impressions. Like he can switch back and forth mm-hmm. and do all the voices. In the movie, I haven't seen Tusk yet, but apparently he plays like a Canadian ranger or somebody. Is there something like that? He looks like Frankenstein. He's like a big, tall guy. Is there anybody like that that sticks out in your head?
I'm sure there
What's
is.
That a boot?
I'm sure there is.
Do you think that a boot?
I'm sure there is someone in the movie. I just can't.
But anyways, I like him. I follow him.
He's probably a really big character that I'm just completely forgetting about.
You just mixing all your movies together now.
Yeah, I did see a lot of movies.
I finished season one of Arrow.
Is that a good show?
Oh, it's so good. Ben, you need to watch it.
I finished season six of Community today because the last episode of... And probably maybe the last episode of Community ever.
Probably.
Just came out today.
If it's on Yahoo now, probably. Yeah. Arrow is very good for being a comic book show on the mm-hmm. CW. It's very good.
Yeah.
It's their flagship show now. I mean, seriously, think about it. Like,
really?
I would think so. What else do they got?
Supernatural.
It's been running for 18 years.
I don't know.
I don't know what else is on that network except for the Arrow, Flash, and now Supergirl and the Atom, I think is. No. Yeah, I think the Atom's getting hit one, too. Another dude who shrinks. That's his power. Like Ant-Man. The Atom.
Is that a DC thing?
It's DC. Wow. CW has all DC characters.
That's right.
Because it's... CW is not Time Warner, but it's under Warner Brothers, and Warner Brothers...
Yeah, because it used to be WB.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's... Warner Brothers does exclusive work usually with DC and mm-hmm. all the DC characters, blah, 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 yeah. Ipso facto. Yeah. But I just made that up. but anywho's, but yeah, it's a good show. I think you should get into it.
I'm not a big fan of like serious serial shows. I'm more into comedies when it comes to TV.
I mean... I can't say it's funny. Like it's a drama. I like mm-hmm. it. I think it's good. I think it's basically Batman without Batman. Yeah. That's what I always think. It's Batman with a bow and arrow. Well, that's what Green Arrow is. I'm sorry. I love Green Arrow people.
Hence Arrow.
Yeah. But hey, you have big news to announce, mister.
I do.
You're going to have to get knee pads or something.
Yeah.
Because and this sounds terrible. You're going to be on your knees for the next, like, 3 months straight.
That's a huge exaggeration. But, yeah, you're right. I'm going to be in Shrek the Musical this summer.
Yes, and if anybody knows why you're going to need knee pads for that show, if you're in Shrek, it's because it's a big reason.
Okay, hold it. Let the audience think about it. Okay, I'm going to be Lord Farquaad.
Woohoo! Yeah!
We had our first... Thank you very much. Oh gosh, ow. We had our first read through last night, and I was so excited about the role. I'm really excited
about
this
role.
Let
me hear your voice.
No.
You haven't done a voice yet? Are you going to figure it out?
Yeah, no, I did.
Are you going to try to imitate Jonathan Lipkow?
I don't think.
From the movie.
Yeah, does he sort of do like a British thing?
Well, he just talks like Jonathan Lipkow, but like he's like, ha 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 ha. Yeah. Mira, like kind of like, but more like, let me think of like a good line. Like, what's one of your lines?
I don't know.
Did you just read it?
Run as fast as you can.
That's like that. Just like that. He does it like, run as fast as you can. You can't catch me. I'm that gingerbread man.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I think I was really excited about the role last night. I did it like way over the top.
Really?
Yeah, I was on my knees during the read-through.
Are you kidding me?
I that's hilarious.
Method acting. I'm getting into character.
No, well, we did it on stage. We did the read-through on stage.
Oh, cool. So and everybody was walking around and stuff?
A little bit, yeah.
That's kind of cool.
And Tom Cerner is playing Shrek.
I love Tom Cerner. And he was Peter Pan in last... Nope, and Peter... And Peter, not Peter Pan.
He was Peter Pan?
He was Captain Hook.
Okay, that makes more sense.
And then he was... oh, no. In Adam's Family, he was the butler.
Lurch.
Yeah. He was Lurch. He's a great guy. Mm-hmm. That's so cool. Congratulations.
Thank you. But you're also going to be in a show this summer.
I had my first read-through last night as well.
Oh, nice.
Cody's... company. Well, first of all, tell them who's doing it. Do you have the show dates yet?
Oh, yeah. The show dates are July 31st and August 1st, and then August 7th and 8th.
I think that's right.
It's a Friday and a Saturday, both weekends. But it's Dynamics Community Theater. It's the show will be at Talmadge High School. What's the website? Dynamics Community Theater.
I think so. It's on Facebook.
Org.
Too.
Yeah, you can look it up on Facebook. We'll post a link for you.
Yep.
But yeah, this is going to be a good show. There was a big turnout last year for Adam's Family.
Oh, it was a great. So yeah, Adam's Family was a great show.
Oh yeah, I loved being in that one.
No, that's awesome. But all right, but anyways, mine. Cody's Theater Company, Next Generation Players in Norton. They're doing the ups and downs of Rolling Hills, and it's a comedy, and it's the company itself. It's more of like a young adult, teenage. Actors like that's what they want. So like I think I'm the oldest person in the cast. I'm serious.
Wow.
I think I'm the oldest person in the cast.
Yeah. How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel old. but it's really cool. It's a comedy. It's about, so it's a small town in, I think it's like Kentucky or Pennsylvania or something like that. But it's like backwoods and it's a very redneck. And maybe it's Georgia. I'm not sure. But anywho's, I just got my script last night. But the entire play takes place in one scene.
Two scenes. I love shows
scene,
like that.
Act one and act two are two different. It's the day, then it's the next day. But they all
like
take
Little
place.
Women, almost.
No. Kind of.
Yeah.
Kind of. But Little Women even had blackouts. Like this is, I'm on stage from current open. Act one done. Act two start. I'm on stage, and I'm on stage until the end of the show.
Yeah,
I'm one of the four main characters. I play Lenny, Lenny Schwartz. I am a lawyer, but who has been living among the rednecks enough that they have rubbed off on him. So, but the entire the story is about is they the previous mayor died, and a new one gets elected, and it's a female.
Sounds very similar to our situation.
Oh no.
Except for the Don didn't die.
Yeah, the dying part. But a female was elected as mayor, and all heck breaks loose, and it's the ups and downs of Rolling Hills. All
right.
But it's going to be fun. I mean, it's a great show. One, two of characters literally yabba gabba dabba dabba dabba. That's how they talk, and then the other one's like that's how two characters talk. One of them,
do they actually say words, or is it
no.
just
Oh. One of them, her character is that she ends every sentence in a fit of rage. So she's like, I'm trying to think of one of her lines. Cause Sarah, the girl who does it's hilarious. She's like, we want grievances. And like, she's just always yelling and she killed my flowers. My helpless petunias. She's always yelling and it's really, I see Chris over there turning my mic down. But it's just a really, it's going to be a fun show. The dates I think are actually the same ones as Adam's Family.
Oh, you mean Shrek?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Bummer.
That's what I said. I think they're the same dates. That's why I was going to try to do both. Probably more backstage for Shrek, like I did last year. Help out on crew, costumes, whatever they needed with. But Cody asked me to help him with this one because I mean, I liked doing Pirates, and I liked, and it's, you know, and I know I want to do a musical one day. I don't think my voice is ready yet. I'm still learning, but I'm happy.
Your
that
vowels.
I'm learning. You guys finally showed me how to freaking close my mouth the right way and how to sing like that.
Yeah.
But I'm excited and I'm happy for you. You'll be so good as Farquaad, and you wanted that part too. So congratulations.
Thank you so much, man.
I'm excited. It'll be fun.
How long have we been going? If you don't mind me asking, sure. I think about a half an hour, right?
I think so.
30 minutes. Yeah. 30 minutes. Wow, we're doing really good.
I know.
Wow, we don't have anything else to talk about.
Well, we got a couple. We got a couple more events we can throw out there. As always, we like to call ourselves the Wandering Aesthetics Podcast.
Oh,
just
yeah,
kidding.
There are a few things coming up.
But June 20th, the Electric Pressure Cooker is at None Too Fragile Theater, Pub Rico again. This time, I think I know who the host is, and I don't know if they've announced it yet.
Don't say anything. There's a sound.
I don't know what that
is. I don't know what that is.
I think I know who the host is.
It's our background music.
I'm sorry. I should say the MC and this person. I can't even. This person is one of my good friends, and I'm so excited that they're going to be emceeing it. But it's cool. This time, I think it's sponsored. Yeah, it's sponsored by Aqueduct Brewing. Like, they're moving on up. Moving
That's
on
awesome.
Up. Before you go. There you go. I'm mixing two songs in. But
the same two songs you did before.
I know. But I'm excited. I think that'll be cool. That's on June 20th. That's and then on pulling up the date now, but they're having another Boiling Point, which is something
yes.
we can talk about because
I'm very excited about this one.
On June 23rd, that is Tuesday, at 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., there will be the Wanting and Aesthetics Boiling Point, Akron's alternative play reading series. Mm-hmm. And this month, they are reading The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime,
which is based off a book by Christopher Haddon. I believe. I read it. I read that book a few years ago, and it is
Mark Haddon.
Mark Haddon.
Yeah.
Huh.
Written by Chris. Mark Haddon.
Oh, Chris is the main character's name. But it's a very good
yes.
book. It's
Christopher Boone.
Yeah.
Can I read the synopsis?
Can I tell you the synopsis?
Go ahead.
Okay. So the whole book is told from the perspective of an autistic boy.
Okay.
From It never says that he's autistic in the book, but you can kind of tell he's probably has like Asperger's or something.
Something.
But it's all the chapter numbers are prime numbers. Like it's numbered with prime numbers because he likes numbers.
Okay.
And there's a narrative that the story goes through, but every other chapter of the story, he's talking about, you know, his thoughts as a child, as an autistic child. And he's trying to solve the case of this murdered dog in the neighborhood.
Yes.
And it's a very good story. I love the book. I don't know how they adapted it for a play, since a lot of the book is like charts and maps and stuff.
Now, you are right. Now, I'll read about the play.
Okay.
The synopsis right here on the page. The curious... Whoa. What? Let me start that sentence over. The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime was first a book written by novelist Mark Haddon and then adapted by Simon Stevens. The story is set in Swindon in London, England, and is about the mystery of the death of a neighbor's dog and the investigation of the dog's death by 15-year-old Christopher Boone, who is on the autism spectrum.
Okay.
So you were right. The story also explores his relationship with his parents and his school mentor, blah, 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 blah. It won a bunch of awards and stuff. That's cool. But, I mean, it was a book first. What, did you read it for school or something?
No, I just read it for fun. I heard it was a good book, and I wanted to read it. And it is. It's a very good book. It's odd.
But like, it's very visual, you're saying.
Yeah, there's a lot of charts and maps, like I said. And I've seen, like, pictures from the actual play, and they have, like... stagehands walking around holding up.
That's cool. I love that.
It seems like a very, very highly visual play.
Yeah, I like that. Now the alternative play reading, the Boiling Point, it's just you're sitting, how they've run it before, they usually just sit around a table and you read it. Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe they'll have some of the charts made or they'll surprise people with them, but I mean, that sounds cool. I love plays that do that, like break the fourth wall or like have like neat ideas like that. I think that's really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like it'll be very different. I'm looking forward to that.
You going to go check it out?
I'm probably going to check it out. I think I have Shrek rehearsal that night. Oh. I think it's a Tuesday, but whatever, I can get out of it.
Yeah, you're
I'm the king, you know? Yeah,
not yet. Not until the end of the... I'm the king
Don't
now!
Don't spoil it!
I'm sorry. I watched that movie. And speaking of Shrek, I made Jay watch that movie. The night before his wedding, I made him get Panera's. We had soup and like nice food.
Breadsticks.
For our bellies. We didn't need no Burger King.
Oh, they don't do breadsticks at Panera. They do baguettes.
They give you like a piece of bread. And then we went back to his house, and I was like, all right, let's watch a movie. And I was like, and Cody was like, we had been quoting that freaking The Muffin Man for like 2 days before that.
The Muffin Man!
And we decided to watch Shrek because it's a wedding movie. Duh. Yeah. There's a wedding in it. I'm so excited for you to get that part. I'm definitely going to come check it out. I think you're going to be so great in it.
Shrek is one of the few movies that me and my sister Jenny both agreed on to watch. And
really?
So, yeah, we grew up watching that movie a lot. And I still have it on VHS. I'm probably going to go home and watch it on VHS.
You have a VHS player still?
I do. We kept it around.
I have no idea where. If someone handed me a VHS and was like, you need to play this to save the world, I'd be like, I'm sorry, the world's going to blow up. I don't think I own a VHS player to play it on. I don't even know if my parents do.
Yeah. I mean, not a lot of people do. They're either like broken by now.
Yeah.
Or people
have moved on with the times.
Yeah, they just threw them out.
Yeah.
We still have a lot of our old VHSs. My parents.
I own a bunch of my VHSs still. Still own. When I was little, I recorded like all of the X-Men season one on VHS. I recorded Batman 2 straight off the TV, and then I have a bunch. I have Star Wars on VHS before George Lucas went in there and messed with it. And I have like the Superman movies, and I have a bunch of stuff. I still own it. I'm just not going to get rid of it because I like to hoard.
Now, have you ever watched a VHS movie on like an HD TV?
How bad does it look?
It is terrible.
Really?
I don't know if I'll be able to watch Shrek all the way through on a VHS on our TV.
Yeah, I've been looking at TVs too. I want to get a curved TV. I think
those
are cool.
Really big and expensive.
I know.
Those are huge.
I'm never going to get one, but I want one. I think they're so cool.
Yeah. That seems like overkill to me.
What?
Just overkill.
Can't have overkill when
overkill.
It comes to your television interests. You can't.
That's
the bigger they are, the harder they fall.
It's like
this biggity boy and the diggity dog.
That's like a 1984 when they're, or was that Fahrenheit 451? One of those movies where the walls are their televisions. I don't know. Do you know, Chris? I think it was Fahrenheit 451. It might have been both.
What are you talking about?
It's one of those old books that like it's talking about the dystopian future.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah.
They
like the Jetsons.
I think it was 1984 because that's how Big Brother kept an eye on you, was your gigantic wall TV. Mm. Yeah.
Wow. The Jetsons could always talk through the TV, which I find hilarious. And that's the only way they didn't have cell phones in the Jetsons. They only talked with the video TV.
Mm-hmm.
We have that nowadays. We have Siri. We have FaceTime. We have FaceChat.
Well, in
and
the
nobody
Jetsons,
uses it.
In the Jetsons, they couldn't even like carry the video chat thing around with them.
No, it just went to room to room, and like you would walk from the kitchen to the living room, and it would be this wall in the kitchen, and then that wall, and like we could have that nowadays, but people don't want to.
I was listening to a podcast.
I don't even use FaceTime. It's so worthless.
I do it with my sisters because they're down in
Georgia.
Yeah,
they have babies.
Yeah, and they have babies.
Yeah, that's why.
I was listening.
If I'm gonna get on FaceTime, I got to make sure my hair looks good and like I don't have anything in my teeth.
Depends on who you're talking to.
It's too much work.
Well, I was listening to a podcast earlier this week, and
just
they were
text them.
Stop interrupting me, man.
I can't help it.
I was listening to a podcast earlier this week, and
what podcast?
It might have been Harmontown.
What a surprise!
Yeah, I listened to Harmontown a lot, but they were talking about cell phones and how if we went back in time and like and you know, sometimes we turn off our ringers on our phones.
Yes.
Yeah. And what if we went back in time and like held up a phone and been like, "Hey, how do you turn the ringer off?" They'll be like, "Why would you want to? Why would you want to turn your ringer off? Why would you?"
I always laugh about like, like definitely in time travel movies, where like you don't take any technology back. Like, why not? That means when you go back to your future, the technology will be even farther along. Do you know what I mean?
Or your world will be burnt to a crisp.
That is true.
Everyone lying dead.
Or Biff Tannen could be with your mom and
because
your dad's
dead.
Because
technology destroys the world,
and
as we all know.
The doc has been in insane asylum, and you get beat up by your father. I'm just quoting. I'm just referencing Back to the Future 2.
You know what? I think we'll get better. Right now, cell phones, smartphones are still like a novel thing. And we're kind of obsessed with it, but I think we'll get better. We'll stop burying our noses in our phones all the time.
I think so.
I think people are really pessimistic about the future of technology and mankind, and I think we'll even it out. We'll get back to loving each other face to face instead of phone to phone.
Yeah, I think that is a valued opinion. I think it'll take longer than you think.
Okay.
I think it will.
Agree to disagree. No.
Well, I am agreeing. I just think I think it's, I don't know. My grandpa texts me now.
Whoa.
Yeah, my grandpa texts me.
My grandpa doesn't have a cell phone.
Now, my grandpa's deaf, so it's not like he could call me. But my grandpa texts me now all the time. It's cool because I could never do that before. Mm-hmm. But anywho's, how much time we got left, Chris? Because we have a very special...
41 minutes.
Yeah, let's go and we can play it.
Okay.
So, again, we like to call ourselves the Wanting Essex podcast. They had this event a couple weeks ago, and we haven't had a show between them. We've just been really busy. We had Copper Penny's 1-year anniversary.
30th anniversary.
Oh, gosh. 1-year anniversary this past weekend, and we've just been super busy. But I definitely want to give a shout out to, and we can talk about it real quick while Chris gets that. Audio ready to go. The full storytelling event that Wandering Aesthetics
full
had.
Circle.
I'm sorry, full circle storytelling event they had. Go ahead and give them a little synopsis of it, Ben. I'm going to see if I can pull up some more info for next month.
Yeah, so we talked about it a little bit before, but if you're familiar with the Moth podcast, it's a show that they do probably around the nation. I don't know if they're probably centered in one place. But they just tell stories. They bring people in who have written stories, and they come in usually without any notes. And they come and they tell true stories of some experience they've had in their life. And so that's what Wandering Aesthetics did. They did that at the Firestone Branch Akron Public Library. I don't remember what night it was. It was a couple Tuesdays ago.
It was May 19th.
Yeah.
Just a couple weeks ago, May 19th.
They had 10 stories, and Ryan was one of the storytellers.
I did.
Yeah, and I believe if we're ready, we're gonna go ahead and hear that story.
Yeah, go ahead and get that ready, Chris. I just want to talk some more about it. I think it was a great event. The Akronist actually was there, Mr. Blue Green. He's a cool dude. He told a story
he
as well.
Did it. Yeah.
His story was really good. He recorded most of the event. Some storytellers expressed that they did not want to be videotaped, and that's okay. But what was so great about the night was there was ups and downs. Mm-hmm. There was really serious stories, and then there was Reuben Ryan, who told how he punched King Arthur in the dick.
Yeah,
I mean, really funny stuff, and it was a great show, and it ended with, I know him, and you got to meet him, JT Buck. He's an awesome guy, but yeah, Chris, if you want to go ahead and play that audio, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to listen along with you, and then we will jump right back into, so here you go.
I had an awesome story to tell. I'm not telling that one. I got another one that I thought of right before I got here. And I'm calling it the almost scarring of genitalia. Thank you. This is a story about courage, but it's more about false courage. Anybody else got that where, like Boris from 007, I'm invincible. Nothing can hurt me. So I was a teenager, as most teenagers think, that I'm invincible, I can do whatever I want. I'm on the track team. We don't have a coach because the coach, who is the coach, only cares about the sprinters and the short distance runners because he's training them for football, and he doesn't give a crap about long distance, which is what we do. So he says, just run. Do you want us to do anything? Go run some miles. He's the worst coach ever. So we would just go run. Sometimes we'd run to the ice cream stand, get ice cream, and then run back and go, oh, woo. 4 miles today. Other times, we'd run to Acme and play tag up and down the aisles. This is what we did. Another time, we had an adventure. And we had plenty, I mean, we had plenty of those. We learned that, yes, in the swamps behind the towpath in Barberton, people do sell drugs to each other. Do not go back there. We learned that there's like a peninsula in Coventry on Portage Lakes. It's like a wildlife reserve for birds or fish, whatever. But it's like a peninsula, and then around that peninsula is this little tiny strip of land. I mean, it's no bigger than like a foot, two feet. And it acts as, I learned, it acts as a breaker wall. It's just rocks and cement and crap and junk. And it just acts as a breaker wall so that the main peninsula island thingy doesn't like get hit with waves and rocks and all that stuff. So we learn there's a path on this little strip of island. And we think, all right, guys, let's see if it comes all the way back around. Because that makes sense, right? It goes all the way back around, comes all the way back. It doesn't go all the way around. We didn't know this at the time. So we start walking, and there's like this huge gap. I mean, it's got to be like half this carpet, okay? And there's 7 of us on like this much. like, scoot over, man. I can't. Like, and then we're really going to fall into the water. So there's this giant gap, and we start jumping it one by one. I jump it, slip on some rocks, and like scrape up my knee really bad, okay? And we think, no, I am fine. Let's keep going on this horrible little island trip at peninsula adventure thingy. I don't know. Next thing we find is a goose nest? I don't know. Who's seen an angry goose? Oh, yeah. Who has seen an angry goose with, like, a field to run away in? Okay, who's seen an angry goose when there's 7 guys on 2 feet of land and there's nowhere to run? I have. You, like, it's like, it literally is like, I'm going to push you into deep water and to survive a goose attack, okay? So it does. We stumble upon a goose nest, and it does that thing. It does that or whatever they do, little hissy thing they do, that whatever it is, okay? They're doing it right at us. And we start pushing each other, like, we're like, get out of the way! There's no way to go! We're falling in the water. We are soaked. Oh, I forgot to tell you. It's like January. So finally the goose like flies off. There's no freaking babies or nothing. I don't know what it was. It was just protecting the nest. And we keep going. So, and we just keep going. Courage. So it's like a peninsula thingy, right? You think that, oh, it's just gonna connect back around. It doesn't. There's a fence right here, okay? So you can't go back. The only option we have is to either go all the way back around through this dangerous peninsula trek island thingy, or to jump the fence. On top of the fence is barbed wire. There's 7 of us. I'm still the caboose. I don't know why I was still the caboose. So we devised this great plan. There's a tree right next to the barbed wire that's like angled. And we've seen enough parkour videos to know that if you run up that, you could jump right over the barbed wire and you'd be fine. Six other guys do it and they're fine. I go to do it and I don't make it. That's why the story is called The Almost Scarring of My Genitals. So, I run up it, and I've seen six other guys do it. Six. Perfectly. Like it was choreographed by like Chinese acrobats. They're like, wah! And they're fine. They're fine. I'm like, I can do this, guys. Woo! Jump, no. Right down on barbed wire. I'm not gonna show you, but I have four perfect lines coming from here down to like here, okay? Perfect lines. This fence must have been about 30 years old in the wilderness. It was covered in rust.
Oh my God.
My leg got infected. We scratched it open and poured bleach in it.
Oh, what? What? That's not what you do.
All right, let me fix that. When I say we, I say me, because I wasn't showing my parents that. Because they'd be like, where'd you get this? What'd you do? I'd be like, Mom, Dad, during track practice, sometimes we don't actually practice. We go on little adventures. And you're like, you're quitting track. But Mom and Dad, I love it. It makes me feel a part of a team. Shut up and get in your room. So I didn't tell them. So like, I come home, my shorts are bleeding. I got four perfect lines. I'm like, Mom, hi, how you doing? I gotta go to the bathroom. And just going to the bathroom, okay? I get the loofah Brillo pad thingy. Oh, okay, hurts. I think, I'll just clean it out with soap. Then I think, sometimes when you get poison ivy, you also put bleach on that. And it doesn't hurt so bad, because it's like little tiny things of poison ivy. So I think, it's not gonna hurt so bad if I just do it on these open wounds on my leg. So I get in the bathtub. We had a really awesome clawfoot bathtub. Amazing. So I'm in there, and I got my leg up like this on the side. And it's already scratched out, blood everywhere. I take the bottle of bleach. I'm like, this will be good. Drop the bottle of bleach, more of it falls on my leg, hits my leg, and like I like fall out of the bathtub. I'm like, oh. Finally my mom and dad are like, what is going on? And you know, you have that moment, and when you're a teenager, I'm sure any parents in the room are like, what's those loud noises coming from the bathroom? What's he doing? So I was like, Mom, Dad, please don't come in here. And then that, after you hear that from your kid, you're probably like, what is going on in there? So, I would love to explain that when I do get a wife, and she sees those on that special day, she's gonna look at him and go, what's that? And I'm gonna say, honey, that is what you're marrying. All this. Because I may not be the smartest cookie in the box. People, I poured bleach on an open wound. But I'm willing to try anything. If you are as well. Thank you, and that's my story.
That's so great.
You're not supposed to laugh at your own joke.
Okay.
I mean, so yeah, we sat down and listened to the story.
We did. We just listened to it live.
One thing
I
forgot to mention was that the theme of the night
was courage.
Yes, it was courage. And yes. So all the stories that night, all 10 of the stories had something to do with courage.
Right.
And I'd also like to, you could hear a lot of very different voices in the crowd.
Yeah.
It was a diverse group.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, some of the voices you will hear is the guy who yells at me and goes, "No, it's not what you do." That's Ruben. Yes. He's one of my good friends. He's hilarious. You can hear Benjamin Rexrail the entire time laughing like a schoolgirl in that video. You can hear him for sure.
I love the woman. Oh my God.
Yeah, that lady, she was awesome. I forget what her name was, but she told a story too.
So yeah, there's
great.
It was a diverse group of people there. Like, you know, there was younger people.
There was young,
there was
old. And like I said before, the stories were, they covered such a variety of like just emotions and feelings.
That's how the Moth is too. Yeah. There's funny stories and there's very serious stories too. But I prepared a few questions for you.
Okay.
Just a few. I know I thought of more as we were listening
to
it.
Go ahead and I am an open book.
Okay. Can you still not pronounce genitalia?
Genitalia.
Genitalia, right.
Now, I have thought that if I ever retell this story or, you know, I've thought about doing stand-up before if I ever told this part in there. Mm-hmm. I will probably come up with a better title for the joke / story than something I can't pronounce very well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll probably have to take genitalia out of it because I like in the moment I have such a hard time just saying that word.
Just call it almost scarring of my balls.
Yeah, I'm gonna call it that.
Sorry I said that. That was terrible.
Scarring of my nuts.
And okay, the other question I have for you is, do your parents still not know?
No, they know.
Oh, they know about this now?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, they came in. Oh, that's the part I didn't finish. They came in at the end. They saw I was lying on the floor, blood all over with scars on me. Yeah, they totally saw it, and they know. Yeah.
That reminds me of No Country for Old Men. Have you seen that
movie? I have not, but it's four perfect lines. In the cold, you see, like any scar, you see it much better. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they go like right next to the boys, and they go down the side of my left leg. I feel like an idiot for the bleach, but you know what? It kills infection. Just to let you know.
Yeah.
It scars.
Maybe you should dilute it a little.
I'm not gonna tell people to do that. It's a horrible idea. Yeah. But I use it. When I get poison ivy, I have to use it. That or I have to go get steroid shots at the hospital.
I've never had poison ivy.
You are one lucky son of a gun.
I might not be allergic to it.
A little bit now.
I don't know. I've never had it.
Just a tiny bit.
Yeah. So those were the questions I had for you. But that was a good story. We were laughing.
Thank you.
Chris was laughing. That was a really good story.
Thank you.
You're not bad at that.
Well, here's the thing. Like you said, the theme for the night was courage. And the original story I was going to tell... what everybody was talking about, and there was a lot of, I mean, overall, it probably was a very good mixture, but I would say, I mean, 10 stories, I would say about 60-70% of them were very serious. Mm-hmm. There was only like two or three really ones that were supposed to be funny. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of them were very serious. There were some that like the people who talked about and didn't want people to be expressing, but like some of them talked about past sins, mm-hmm. family members, a lot of hurt that people have gone through. And that's what was so cool about the event altogether. But my original story was, and I'm not going to tell it here, I'm going to save it for another one if I go to another one, was how I almost died.
I have one of those stories too.
How I almost drowned.
Almost drowned too.
Yeah, I was going to tell that story, and it's anyways. But then since the night was going, and that's the story. Like I said at the beginning, like I originally was going to tell this one, but I thought of this one, and that's because I didn't want to say to everybody because everybody here is such a downer. But so I had that one in my back pocket.
Yeah.
That I remembered, and it does tie to courage. It's about false courage, as I called it. I probably need to think of a better term for it than that. But mm-hmm. it's about how, and nobody got my joke. Boris from 007. I mean Invincible.
Yeah.
From GoldenEye. Come on.
The video game or
the movie?
The movie. I never saw the movie.
But like, if when you're a teenager, even into your like your younger 20s, or I don't know, some people probably never change, you think like nothing can hurt me, like mm-hmm. I've seen six other guys do this, I can do it too. But guess what? you can't. And it's going to hurt. And dum-dum.
You don't think about dying at that age. You don't think about, like...
No, you don't. You don't think about anything like that.
I'm going to lose my leg or...
But, so a lot of people wrote out their stories, or I know Kyle, he meticulously writes his, and mine was, I had an idea, and like at the end, I felt like I was kind of like trying to find a good way to end it, and mm-hmm. I came up with a bad joke that was, I thought, really funny to myself. But no, I was glad. The event itself, you know, I really am excited for that. I really want to be a part of it. We forgot to say, Soap was the special guests of the night. I got to talk to some people before the event about us.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, since we were both there, but we were running sound. We brought our PA system from Copper Pennies, and we used it, and it was just such a cool event, and I want to be a part of it. It's something I will take time to always make sure I can make it to.
Yeah, I don't think they have like a set date for another event.
Not
like
yet,
it,
but I definitely I think it was
a pilot,
and I think it was a success.
And it was a good turnout.
Yeah,
like
it was good.
We were hanging out like 20 minutes before, and there was like no one showing up. And then like right once it got
they
started,
they didn't think they'd have enough people to tell stories.
Yeah.
to make up for the full. I think they had the room for an hour and a half, almost 2 hours. I think almost 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason why I put my name in was just in case they didn't have enough, they could call me up. And not that that's what happened. They had enough people, including me.
Mm-hmm.
I was glad I was able to tell mine. I have a whole bunch of stupid stories like that.
Yeah.
I would love to tell. And it was just so cool. Next time, I'm going to make you do it.
I want to.
Yeah.
Find
out what the theme is and write a really good story about
it.
Yeah. You'd be good at it, too.
I just love... You know, when people get together and they're just a little bit vulnerable with each other.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's just like complete strangers.
There
were some people who showed up who had no idea what Wandering Aesthetics was. And
tears were shed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some people cried. Mm-hmm. Some people got really emotional.
I think the world would be a better place if we just didn't have so many secrets.
Kyle told the story about how he and Benjamin fell in love.
Yeah.
And I mean, I didn't know it was because of the freaking kitchen when they upload that video or whatever, or the audio. We might play that next week or whatever. I never knew that's how they fell in love, and I think that's just adorable. And I, you're right. If the world had less secrets, if more people were open books, I don't know, it'd be different. But no, I think it was really cool.
I think that's a good note to sort of end the show on.
Oh, too.
Do we have recommendations, or are we just going to skip
that? I mean, if you do, I will just recommend my good friend Cody Stanley. I don't know if that counts as a recommend, but I'm recommending him because he and I have been we've been moving to the house. He's been He works at the Beacon. He works at the Akron Beacon.
Mm-hmm.
His shift is 2 a.m. to 10 p.m. Nope, 2 a.m. to 10 a.m. So he works works nights to early mornings, and he's just been a super help. And I'm giving him a major shout out right now. Top that.
I don't even want to do a recommend
top
anymore.
Top that.
I don't know. Listen to Harmontown. It's seriously one of those really great podcasts where, like, Dan Harmon, the creator of Community, if you're a Community fan, I don't know, he's a good guy. It's a funny podcast.
You ready for this, Ben?
It's always live in front of an audience.
I missed.
You missed? He just crumpled up a bottle and tried to throw it into the trash.
Oh, hey, congrats to the Cavs.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, going to the finals.
Mm-hmm.
When's the first game? It's next
basketball.
Week?
I don't know. Go basketball.
Woo,
I know
LeBron.
Nothing.
So yeah, Harmontown. That's my recommendation.
Very good.
And my mom.
As always, go ahead, Ben. We like to send some thank yous out to the people who help make the Spoils of Akron podcast possible. As always, we like to thank the Akron Digital Media Center for helping us get this out there and get this out to the world. We'd like to thank Chris Miller, the man, the myth, the legend, for running the board for us and for all of everything he does for us. He is the editor-in-chief, the main writer, the top dog, the big cheese at the Akronist. Make sure you check them out. It's community... What is it? What's the slogan?
Stories of Akron.
But isn't it like through community?
Yeah, citizen journalism.
That's what I was. Citizenship. Citizen journalism. It's a really cool website. I love it. I checks it out all the time. But yeah, the Akron Public Library for giving us for letting us use their space, and for Ben's guitar, for all the work you've put on it, Ben. You bring it all the time, except for the last couple times you brought the ukulele. But
yes, my mom is calling me on my phone.
What?
Yeah,
I'm gonna answer it
literally right now. No, we don't need to. You don't need to answer it. But
thank
you
guys. Oh, I did. I accidentally did.
Okay. All right. We'll have.
Hi, Ben's mom.
Have an Akron
day.
Wait
1 second. Oh. Have an Akron day.